call the August 4th Common Council meeting in order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderwoman Hanneman?
Here.
Alderman Barber?
Here.
Alderman Nelson?
Here. Have a quorum. Please rise and join the pledge of allegiance.
The pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, and give us your name and address, and let us know what you want to say.
Sure, Liz Charwitz, 3909 West Heather Ridge Drive. I'm here to cover two items. First, if it would be possible for public comment to be made online through some type of virtual platform, just for safety. I appreciate everyone wearing masks, but I don't see everyone 6 feet apart in park, and I just don't feel like that's a safe place unless we have major building upgrades like bipolar ionization, ventilation, UV disinfectant equipment in this room, which I don't think we have. It's probably not the best bet to be sitting so close. So I really hope public safety is number one. I know we're all here together, so just want to put that out for consideration. Second, I'm sure you're not surprised I'm here from Market Avenue Extension. I'm glad to see that it's an update or status update on the agenda. I want to just reiterate that this is a city problem and not a developer problem. My concern is that we're going to be back to square one, where we're asking the developers to pay for a road that's really not going to give them benefit. We're never going to get this project done. I know, Mayor, you and said you're going to try to arm wrestle the developers, and you've taken the time to meet with me to, I know you're in a hard spot, but unless we really take ownership of this project and use funds that supposedly were allocated, I think it's around $750,000, it's never going to happen. And now that we're home, taking kids on school is one thing, bike rides, just the use of the area. We can argue that till the cows come home, but we know the council agrees that it's a good project. It's just a matter of who's going to pony up the dough. And we know that once the developers get the, you know, the billion of the houses is on hold right now, once they build their homes, that's going to increase our area's tax base. Over time, it will hopefully pay for the extension. So I am tired of, I would love to not have to appoint here tonight to talk about it. So it'd be nice to put it to rest. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to listen in at home. I'm getting my kids to bed. So, but I just wanted to put my call out that please, let's not keep repeating the problem. I'm not going to remember in full, but what's the thing that if you keep repeating yourself over and over expecting a different outcome, it's insanity. You can fill in the actual words, but that's kind of where we're at as a community. So let's not add to the pandemic of the craziness we're already in. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Only one other citizen. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one else rise, I will close the citizen comment period. With that, we'll move on to mayoral announcements. We have a COVID-19 update by Director Day. Glenn, can you share your mic? Actually, the mic.
All right, good evening, everyone. I'm just going to start out, go a little out of order from the agenda and do the statistics first, and then we'll kind of roll into other developments in the last week or so, and then take any questions that you have. So as I'm sure most of you know, we, about a week and a half ago, rolled live with our online dashboard with the help of the GIS team here at City Hall. So I'd just like to thank both Todd and Brian for all the help that they gave us in getting that up and running. It is updated every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with the data from directly from the disease surveillance system. So what we can do with that is that it gives us a lot more data than we were putting out before, and it does a lot of the work behind the scenes, so freeing up some time of my staff having to do that update on a continuous basis. With that being said, as of yesterday, we sat at 496 total cases since our first case back on March 17th, no, March 20th. 310 of those, or 62%, came in the month of July. So there was a tremendous uptick that we saw in addition to the uptick across the state stemming from things that were going on the last part of June and running through the 4th of July holiday weekend. Predominantly, our cases saw the biggest increase in ages 16 to 30-year-olds. So again, that outdoor gathering, party, barbecue, pool party, outdoor bar venues seem to be the catalyst for a lot of our individuals being linked together. So far, we have 406 people that have recovered, meaning that they've made it through the isolation protocol, which is about 82%. We have 80 active cases right now, down from an all-time high of about 115 or so a couple weeks ago. So that's good news. We did add a statistic to show the active contacts that we're tracing. So in addition to anyone who tests positive, we do tracing with those individuals to find out who they were in close contact with. So that's the 6 feet for greater than 15 minutes of time. Those individuals are called close contacts, and we request that they quarantine at home unless they meet certain provisions to still be allowed to work. And there are 246 active contact investigations right now, or people in quarantine in the city of Franklin. And lastly, on the statistics side, our positivity rate has gone up a bit in the month of July. We're sitting at 7.4%. The goal is to have that around 5%. That's kind of the mark where we think we have a little bit of containment going on. So being at 7.4% is a little high, and we'd like to see that come down. We also had a local community testing site over the weekend at the Greendale High School. 800 people came through that testing site within about 16 hours of it being operationalized. However, only 65 of the 800 were from Franklin. So hopefully that means that people are getting tested elsewhere if they have the need or desire to be tested. We also have brought on 3 contact tracers through CARES funding that came to us through the state, and they are up and running and doing casework for us as of the end of last week, and our latest addition will be going live tomorrow doing casework. So that is helping our staff tremendously, because we've also seen in the last maybe 7 to 10 days an uptick in other category 1 illnesses that we have to respond to, as well as numerous social service referrals. Immunization services are trending up, and our inspection needs from our sanitarians for development are also trending up. So the help from those contact tracers came at the right time. So that's about it on the statistics side. Closer to home, we have the mask executive order that went into place on Saturday statewide. Prior to that, I worked with city leaders to put forth a mask requirement for those working in City Hall, which has been changed to match the executive order that came out over the weekend. So those inside City Hall are required to wear masks unless they meet one of the exceptions outlined in that executive order. And then one last update on the House of Corrections side. They do have some cases in the House of Correction right now, but I wanted to address those after my conversation with the acting administration there, just so that the general public here has an idea of what's going on. So currently there are 2 units that have positive cases in them. There's one unit that has, I believe, about 11 cases right now positive. Those individuals are inmates that have been returned to the House of Correction through a variety of means, being brought back into custody. So they were in the general populace. Maybe they broke parole, or maybe they were on parole pending court, and now they're back in custody. So those are individuals that were out in the community, and before they are put back into the general population, they're tested, put into isolation until the test results come back. If they test positive, they're put into the negative pressure dorm for their isolation period. If they test negative, then they are placed with the general population. So that's one group. And then the other group is that negative pressure room. So there were, I believe, one or two individuals that were from the actual House of Corrections itself that are in there, but also transfers that have come in from the county system. The county downtown is only allowed to hold 10 people that test positive once they cross that 10-person threshold. Any additional inmates that are positive come to us here at the House of Correction because they have those negative pressure dorms to keep people in isolation more safely. So when you see numbers, they're in those two populations. It's not within the general population. There isn't an outbreak or anything. They're doing everything correct as far as I'm concerned and being very, very cautious bringing new people into the system.
Alderman Nelson.
Is that in the Lauder building or is that somewhere different?
It is not in the Lauder building. That is within their normal, I believe they had four dorms that they could turn into negative pressure within their normal dorm structure. The Lauder building has no one in it.
Thank you.
Questions for the director? Alderman Wilhelm.
Courtney, when we were dealing with license, we were struggling with approval of events. Are you going to put something together that you can let the council know about this evening that how we might better address that?
Yeah, so in conversation in the license committee meeting this evening, there's been an increase in number of businesses that have wanted to do special events in the summer, some small scale, some large scale, and trying to just get some consistency of what we're asking for them from a health and safety perspective in the era of COVID, so that everybody is essentially having the same opportunity to present an event with the same parameters in place. Currently right now, there are a few businesses that do have orders placed on them restricting live music events due to the increase in crowd size that those events do bring to the table. So those are questions that we still have moving forward. I'm currently working with a few of those entities on ways that we can improve their current COVID plan so that maybe we can start to move in a direction where they can have some form of that live music back, provided that they're able to have a venue that is providing for safety, whether it's crowd size or physical distancing. Also, the mask mandate that is out right now does require outdoor bars for everyone in an outdoor bar to be wearing a mask. So that does include the umbrella bar. In my estimation, that includes the beer gardens as well. So those people should be masked and that should help to some degree. I will say though, the gatherings is a problem in Franklin, not just at establishments, but at people's backyard pool parties and barbecues. I've heard that there was a private prom thrown over the weekend. So just as we were getting to the point where we thought those teen cases were going to come back down and maybe they were getting ready to start some of their athletic events and practices back up, there's a high likelihood that those won't be happening because the cases are going to go back up in that population. So I think everybody kind of needs to take a good hard look about what they want moving forward as far as if the in-person school or virtual school, sporting events, not sporting events, outdoor concerts. We need to get this under control at some point. So we have to make a few sacrifices here and there to get the numbers back under control so we can move forward. If we keep at the rate that we're going, the numbers will just keep going up.
Thank you.
Went to a graduation party. 1 second, Dan. I went to a graduation party at a neighbor of mine a week ago. And before I RSVP'd, I asked her, how many people are going to be there? She said, about 30, but they're spaced out. I said, okay, fine. I said, because I'm not coming if there's going to be more than about 20 or 30, because frankly, I'm in a high-risk category, and there's way too many parties and way too many people with COVID, with COVID-19, and it's caused by graduation parties, prom parties, after football practice parties. And she said, I've noticed that you've been a little grouchy lately. I said, you want to know the reason why? June 30th, our health department was tracing active surveillance on 21 individuals. 21. On June 21st, they were actively tracing 121. That's why I'm grouchy. That cost the taxpayers money. Just so somebody can have a party? Give me a break. Anytime somebody comes to me and says, I want to have fireworks at my event. No, I'm not approving that. It's costing the taxpayers a lot of money and people are getting sick. So, license committee, if you're coming to me and asking me if we should approve a beer garden or something like that, my answer is no, plain and simple. It doesn't take any effort off of the health department. It's no. Makes no sense to approve those things. Sorry. It's the way I feel. Until these numbers come down, we're tracing 80 people right now. That's outrageous. It's time for us to get a hold of this thing. And I'm not talking about infringing on anybody's rights. I'm talking about being mature adults. We don't need more beer gardens in the city. We don't need fireworks at Polonia. Lots of places to get a beer. Have a beer at home. Okay, rant's over with. Madam Director.
I believe Alderman Mayor had a comment.
I'm sorry, Alderman Mayor.
Wow, that was great, Mr. Mayor. You took the words right out of my mouth. It's great to see you leading from the front on this thing now. Some people have been saying these things for a while, and still people don't take it seriously. But thank you very much. You did a great job there. And thank you for wearing a mask and watching us on YouTube. And I think we can work on the social distancing a little bit more up there, but it's great to see you wearing a mask. Just a couple questions for Courtney. Courtney, are you satisfied with the disinfectant and cleaning program at City Hall for employees and for the public?
I would say it can always be improved. I am not privy to everything that happens, you know, after hours or before I get here in the morning, but I would say high touch surfaces, doorknobs, handrails, bathrooms, chairs, could stand, you know, a few more going over during the day. Absolutely.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I hope you heard that. You can make directions as you need to. Courtney, do we have anyone out on isolation or quarantine at this point? What do you mean, do we have anybody out? Employees.
I cannot divulge that information due to HIPAA, but anybody that would test positive that works for the city of Franklin, if they live within Franklin, we would find out through the surveillance system. If they do not live in Franklin, when they test positive, their local health department would contact them to find out where they would work, and then they would be contacting me. So I would know.
Right, and you can't say any numbers. Not divulging any HIPAA, but you can't release any numbers of someone that might be out, or the numbers that might be out?
I'm not comfortable releasing that information, though.
Okay. Is anyone working from home yet?
That I do not know off the top of my head. Some of those decisions are made by individual department heads, so that I don't have an answer for you.
Alderman, the policy is that there's supposed to be no one working from home as a matter of policy.
Okay, thank you. And thank you again, Mr. Mayor, for showing your leadership up there. No further questions. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Is that it? Any other questions for the director? Madam Clerk, election status, please. Thank you, Courtney.
With next week's partisan primary, which is held on Tuesday, we are going to have all of our normal polling locations open. They will be, I'm hoping, fully staffed. We do have PPE products. We have masks and cleaning solution. We did get an extra shipment of pens from the state. So every voter, just as in April, will receive a pen. They will take it through the whole process and take it home with them. We are trying to place the plexiglass barriers where possible at some of the polling locations. We do have electronic poll books at the sports complex, so that is going to be a little trickier, but it worked well in April. We had nothing but compliments. We doubled the width between the, or the distance between the voter and the workers by adding an extra table, so we're going to continue with that. All absentee ballots, we have requests on file from 6,930 voters. Most of those requests were people who online requested them in March for the April election, but checked the box that they wish to receive them for the entire year, or that they are indefinitely confined. We are spending about 5 hours on the phone during the week, during the day. And it's been pretty steady. There are quite a few people who do not recall going online, applying for an absentee ballot, checking the box that they'd like to receive it for a full year, or that they are indefinitely confined, and that they actually received a ballot in April, voted on it, and returned it. We're having to pull up applications. People still don't recall doing that. But unless they give us an indication that they would no longer like to receive it, they will keep receiving them until the category that they selected has passed. So we're dealing a lot with that. The state has issued a memo and then a couple hours later revised it again. So I'm going to give you the summary of mask wearing for voters, with the caveat that at any given moment it's subject to change, and as in April, it is subject to change and change again. So municipalities cannot require voters to wear face coverings while at the polls on Election Day. The legislature is the only ones that can establish individual voting qualifications. And the requirement of wearing a mask to obtain a ballot and successfully cast your ballot is considered a voter qualification. So we will have signs up that we strongly suggest it. The same thing with the poll workers. They will be told to wear a mask unless they fit in the category of not being able to. One of the elements that we run into on Election Day is a lot of people rely on lip reading when given directions. And so we want to make it very clear to the voter, this of all elections is the most difficult for direction to a voter. They have to, it's called a partisan primary. It's been like that since the early 1900s. It's a primary within a party, so you cannot cross parties, and that a lot of times takes a lot of direction and careful explanation to the voter. And so if there's an element of helping the voter understand something by being able to read somebody's lips, I'm going to look into some plastic, clear plastic, so that if they have to lower their mask to give the explanation, that there will be some kind of barrier on the poll worker's part. Also, if in general the state feels that most people can recognize somebody while wearing a mask based on their photo ID, but there may be some voters who, you know, walk in with sunglasses and a mask and maybe ask to lower their mask, but there is no requirement to tell the voter to completely remove the mask if it's clear that their photo ID reasonably resembles the voter. Let's see.